Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. This episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion about the first season of the TV series Salvation.
It was an event series. It was 13 episodes on CBS over the summer. The trailers, the commercials for it, they looked like movie trailers.
Honestly, I never saw any of the commercials or trailers or anything about it until you had said, hey, yeah, there's this other show on the CBS All Access that we'd gotten to check out Discovery. This looks interesting. And it had the guy from Hawaii Five-0,
Ian Anthony Dale.
Yeah, who was also on The Event.
Yes.
And maybe one or two others. He's a good actor.
Yes.
And that was about the only actor I really recognized initially. But it's like, okay, asteroid's going to hit the world. Can they save the planet? Tech genius, you know, whatever. Okay, fine.
Well, the commercials they were showing, it was like during May sweeps and at the end of last season. And every time the commercial would come on, I would look at it and go, wow, that looks like a great movie. And then at the end, it would say, starting July 12th. And I'd be, starting?
Yeah.
You know, and I was just so intrigued with the, okay, they've got more story than they could make just a movie. So they made a short series. And I was intrigued.
Well, 13 episodes, so short by network TV standards, and it is a CBS show.
Yes.
But almost standard length for like a sci-fi genre, mm-hmm. and sci-fi even the network. But it's a standard length. 13 episodes is not an unusual length for a series.
In Britain.
Even here in the States.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, we're getting a lot of other shows that are doing 13 episode runs.
Yeah, you're right.
I forget exactly how many are on things like The Last Ship or The Librarians or...
Well,
but those are more cable-type shows than network shows.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, I get where you're coming from, but it's not like they did 8 or 17 or some other kind of non-standardish number. It is a premise, though, that is more typically done in movie than TV.
Yeah.
But doing it in TV gave them a lot more time to play with ideas. And the basic premise is a college student discovers an asteroid's gonna hit the Earth and wipe out the world.
187 days from now, give or take?
At the beginning, at least.
Yes.
Less so at the end. And he's gotta convince his professor and convince some other people and stuff like this.
Well, he has been designing this program for class, kind of a random, can I do something no one else did to prove I have the programming chops, if you will.
He's an MIT grad student.
Yeah.
And this was a major problem that, again, could be lucrative if you solve or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he had don't look for what you know, look for what you don't know sort of out of the box thinking.
Yeah. But once he hits on this whole, oh my word, there's this asteroid out there, his first response is, the government needs to know. The people who can deal with this needs to know. And he has that very wholesome, honest, I don't hoard the info and sell it. I do the right and responsible thing with it attitude.
Well, one of the things I thought was interesting about this series is certain characters grow quite a bit during the course of the 13 episodes. Liam, that college student, is certainly one of them. But there's a group of younger characters just starting out, you know, getting out of college and finding their way in life, and then some older, more established type characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the younger one, we've got Liam, we've got the reporter,
Amanda Neal,
we've got the girlfriend of Liam's,
Jillian, I forget the last name.
Yeah, I forget the last name. And then the daughter of the press secretary for the Pentagon, the son of the deputy secretary of defense who later becomes secretary of defense. We've got them as kind of, I don't want to say the kids, but the younger contingent. We've got the press secretary. We've got that deputy secretary of defense. We've got Darius Tan's tech billionaire. Mm-hmm. We've got
Professor Croft.
Professor Croft. we've got, in many cases, a very clear parental figure.
Mm-hmm.
And even for some of those parental figures, we've got their parental figure.
Yeah.
The press secretary's a father, Darius's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of almost generational sort of, you know, bestowing of knowledge, protecting the kids, and a lot of a family dynamic going on in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of fun to see how different people in different positions react to the same kind of information as to, you know, how emotionally mature are they? Are they ready to handle this sort of doomsday event sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and there was more than one case where there's the, you get the information, and as you're reacting to the information, you're also reacting to, this other person knew and didn't tell me the moment they found out. But then there's, now you're living with the information, and the process of living with it teaches you, and you come to understand what you were judging the other person about.
Well, and that's the kind of storyline that you need time to play out.
Yeah.
The fact that Liam had this information, withheld it from the girlfriend gets pulled into things, so he's got to be kind of lying to her on a more regular basis versus having just left. She then finds out, so he's got to fess up, fill in the blanks for her. She's then, you know, oh, how could you not tell me? And then put in a position where does she tell her father, her grandfather, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that takes time to play out. You can't just throw that in all at once. It seems rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course of a season, seeing the ups and downs of their relationship as a part of this,
yeah,
was very interesting. And I felt that the characters all seemed to have a I don't want to say a trajectory or an arc. They had a progression. They had a consistency of being and beliefs that they held true to.
Yeah.
I never really felt somebody's like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
But it also didn't feel like it. They start here, they go through this, and they end here. It's a very clear, plotted trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
There was a number of twists and turns. Who can we trust? Whose side is this guy on?
There was definitely a process of discovery about certain characters.
The discovery and evolution without it being a revolutionary change in character at times.
Mm-hmm.
And as situations progressed, they adapted to that.
Yeah.
And there was a flow and a organicness, I guess, to it that other shows I've watched feel more artificially plotted, more contrived.
The only thing that, when it first happened, felt like, oh, what a coincidence, was the Secretary of Defense, Harris, his son, Dylan, being in Resist.
There were a couple of times where, you know,
that was a My West Small World.
Well, and Resist reaching out to the one reporter happening to be, I mean.
The one, reaching out to the one reporter when she flat out asks, why me? And they say, because you're the only one looking into it.
Right. But it does come down to, what are the odds of the one reporter who's going to look into that happened to be at the one reception that Darius took Liam to meet, you know, thus and so. And
yeah.
How did she get certain photos? I mean, there are a few things where, and once you realize, okay, the hacker group is feeding information, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and once we get some scenes much later on between Harris and his son, Dylan, where we realize that he has raised his son to not blindly follow. And he's telling him, even as he's saying, I don't like what you're doing, I may not even approve of what you're doing, but you don't blindly follow. A degree of resistance is necessary. It takes bravery, it takes courage, but I'd rather you not be here when the building's raided.
Well, it was funny because at first it was just the angry father at the the rebellious child.
Mm-hmm.
But then that kid evolved and the father evolved to realize that what the kid was rebelling against was out of control and needed to be rebelled against.
Yes. Well, and I actually loved the scene when Grace had kind of berated the father about, you left him in jail, you go back.
Yeah.
And he goes back. And when the kid says, basically, I didn't think I'd see you again, he's like, look, I'm here for you and your friends. And the kid says, but all my friends left at the first opportunity, unlike him, who had told his dad, I won't leave without my friends.
Yeah.
And dad says, you know, they put self-interest first. And it's almost like
survival, I think, is what he said.
Yeah. Well, he says both survival and self-interest. But it's one of those conversations that has, you know, the double entendres and stuff, because it also applies to what's going on with the asteroid and everything.
Well, his father, Harris, is basically, it's like, yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
As you get older, you will learn that, kind of. It was fun to see the dynamic between those two change and evolve a little bit.
Well, it was a moment where he was coming to respect his son, because he was realizing his son was feeling betrayed by friends who had done what he felt he was having to do as he followed orders at work.
Well, and I think it's where he also started to really respect his son for staying true to his principles where his friends did not.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you look at how Harris, particularly at the beginning, treats his son versus how the press secretary treats the daughter, there's a very different paternal versus maternal aspect.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that is touched on at various other points in the series.
Mm-hmm.
When Darius is talking about how his mom was always there to protect him or whatever, versus the father figures in his life were really not that great.
Yeah.
And there's this definite sensibility, I think, that's you can start to pull out of the series as to what that writer's room seemed to generally think, paternal relationship, maternal relationship, this kind of a person is going to do these sorts of things. And nothing that I felt was either stereotypical or blatant or cliche.
Well, Harris, as a mentor that evolved into a father figure for Liam, was fascinating. When he apologized, without saying I apologize, to Liam for bringing Jillian down to Tans from Boston.
Darius, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Darius. It was fascinating.
It was interesting, but when you misspoke with Harris there was a paternal moment with Harris when they come back from the raid in London.
Yes.
And he's like, if you ever need to talk to somebody about having killed someone or whatever.
Yes.
I'm there. You know, I've been through it. I understand it. And, you know, it was fun to see what started as a smattering of complete strangers for the most part.
Well, and I mean, let's go back and let's touch on who are the true central figures, because this was a big ensemble.
It was. And, okay, we'll go through all those and also touch on how few of them at the beginning moment knew each other. Because obviously, Zoe's the daughter of the press secretary, whose name is Grace.
Grace.
No, yeah, sorry. So many names. I'm so bad with names. So those two obviously knew each other.
Yeah.
Grace, the press secretary for the Pentagon, obviously knew the deputy secretary of defense, Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Harris obviously knew his son.
Dylan.
Thank you. I was going to say names were escaping me.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to, it was just a huge cast of characters over the course of 13 episodes.
We've got Liam, who knows his Professor Croft, and meets in the pilot Darius Jillian. Tans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then later Jillian.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Jillian at about the same time.
Yeah. And
arguably first, depending if you count the lecture Tans was giving or not.
Yeah, well, and I think there was just a really quick line of dialogue that Darius Tans and Croft had a past.
Don't know if that came out in the pilot or a little later, but yes.
Yeah.
They knew each other. We also got the roommate or friend or whoever of Liam's that we touch on once later and never again.
Yeah.
During the pilot, Liam tells Tans about the asteroid. They head to D.C. because MIT's obviously not there.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Well, you know, Tans has a private plane.
There are times they do some very fast travel.
They do!
It was the one where later they go from the D.C. area where most of the story is based to London and back to gather some armed people to go back to London that night.
Yes.
I don't know how fast Darius's plane is.
I decided it must be a Concorde.
I was thinking transporter. But it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so other characters.
We haven't even gotten to The reporter, Amanda.
The reporter, Amanda. Well, yeah, and that's where I was going, because after they go to D.C., that's where Darius and Liam meet Harris and Grace. Actually, Grace first. And do that at a party or whatever, which is when Amanda, the reporter, gets looped in. And then it was after, I think, all of that that... No, actually, it was before that that Liam went to the bar, met Jillian. That would be the girlfriend later. What other regular characters do we have?
We meet after the first couple episodes, or after at least the first two, Claire, who seems to be some kind of spokeswoman for the president.
Yeah, she was, might have been the Pentagon liaison or some such, but...
Yeah. And then Calhoun.
Who is Harris's boss.
Yes.
So he was Secretary of Defense. Mm-hmm. We wind up with, late in the game, a president who then gets replaced by the vice president who becomes president.
Uh-huh.
Other regular players are Grace's father.
Yes, who becomes pivotal. I mean, one of my favorite phrases in the show became, I've got a guy.
Well, it's funny because at one point, we need somebody to do this. And Grace is like, I might know somebody. And then later it's, I've got a guy. And then I expected at some point both Harris and Darius to just turn to her. It's like, you got somebody for that, don't you? We never got that. But what we did get is the dad. It's like, you know, I'm going to have to change my cell phone number if I ever want to finish a round of golf.
Yes, yes.
And I have other skills than body disposal.
Yes, yes.
That actor,
Mark Moses,
is one that has been, it seemed like, in everything under the sun.
Yeah, he was a regular on Desperate Housewives. He was the president on The Last Ship for most of a season.
Yeah, he was the one that they had on the ship, and on the next season...
In St. Louis.
In St. Louis, before he got killed and they replaced with the then-current president, or now-current president.
Spoiler alert for Last Ship.
Gonna happen.
That's fine.
I just wanted to clarify which of the two.
Yes.
But he was also, I think, Archer's dad in the pilot of Enterprise. I mean, he's a character actor.
Yes.
It's really good.
Well, and I would say he's a character actor in terms of being a compliment.
Yes. There are certain types of actors in Hollywood, and there are some that they are almost never going to be the lead of a show.
Mm-hmm.
They may not even be a regular on the show, but the minute you need, gosh, I need somebody who, I don't know, looks presidential or looks like he should be a CEO, or I need somebody who's a lawyer or a doctor or a janitor or a gang member or who's just got a certain look, a certain thing they sell.
Yeah.
You look at them, it's like, yeah, I'd buy them as the janitor at the high school, the company, the corporate, you know, whatever, or the bartender or whatever. And not in a stereotypical way sometimes, but there's some that you see them, like when we get, and I don't want to say who the character is, we'll save that for a little later because I thought it was great. We get at a hospital and we get this black lady coming out in scrubs. Yeah, she's like an ER nurse or something, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In a hospital setting, yeah, she seems natural there. She fits.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not the sort of actress I would expect to anchor like a sitcom or a drama or something like that. But you put her in that kind of a role.
She was perfect where she was.
Yeah, she fits perfectly.
And in fact, the very last line they gave her, she sold so beautifully.
She was one of the characters. And again, it goes to kind of the maternal instinct that they seem to portray.
Yeah.
She was the mother of one of the characters. And we've got this black lady that is, you know, we see her at a hospital. It's never quite clear exactly what she does.
She's a nurse of some sort. She had to get back to her shift.
She's got the stethoscope, could be a doctor.
Yeah, true.
Not just like an administrator, but somebody who's somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And what I found fascinating is not only was she just a great character and really sold, yep, she's the mother of this other character.
Mm-hmm.
But being Liam's mother.
Yeah.
Liam is a white guy and this is a black lady. It's like, wait a sec, I'm a little confused here. Oh, Liam was adopted, you say?
Well, and they did a beautiful scene where he asks her, you know, but how did you know, when did you know that we were a family, that I was meant to be your son? And
it gave a very interesting she was basically telling Liam, you're rushing into this marriage. It's too soon.
Don't be impulsive.
Don't be impulsive. Mm-hmm. And when he later turns and basically says, when did you know you wanted to keep me, to raise me, that you loved me that way?
Mm-hmm.
And the minute I laid eyes on you.
Yeah, she's describing love at first sight.
Which is what we had seen in the bar.
Yeah.
One of the other things the show did that I thought was very interesting is there are a couple of times where they actually do flashbacks, I think in black and white.
Yeah, they were.
That of a previous scene.
Yeah.
Of just, and it's like, oh, this character is remembering that moment. Thank you for cluing me in. Now I remember that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they didn't quite do slow-mo or freeze frame, but they did something in between that was just a really beautiful way of capturing memories are not fluid, real motion.
It was, yeah, it was something, it was clear this is not something that's happening now. We didn't just do a scene change.
Yeah.
But it was a, if you've forgotten this, because it was a few episodes back.
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments that if they had decided to do him seeing Jillian or vice versa kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Might have worked.
Yeah.
One of the things I did find funny about the show was there were a few times where we recognized where they had shot.
Yes.
Now, part of this is we watch way too much television.
Well, there could be that.
So there were one or two times it's like, didn't we see this thing used in this other show? But there was also
Xavier's School for the Gifted.
From the X-Men and stuff. It was also used in an episode, I think, of what is that sci-fi?
Killjoys,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We'd gone up to Toronto for a convention.
Uh-huh.
And our friends, oh, you've got to check this place out. So we go to where they had filmed some of the X-Men stuff for Xavier's, and they were filming at the time Killjoys.
Yeah.
So we were walking around the place. So when they're going and breaking into Darius's uncle's place in London,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, we've been there.
Okay, so this is a comment. I mean, stereotypes. Like we were saying before, this isn't. Canadians are stereotypically just so nice. We saw them filming Killjoys, and one of the two Ashmore twins is in that.
The one who does TV, the other one seems to do movies.
Yes.
It's funny, we're sitting there essentially at the X-Men mansion, and it's the other Ashmore than the one who played Iceman is the one we see.
Yes, I'm blanking on which one it is. I'm so sorry. But anyways.
I think it's Aaron.
Yeah, I think so. So 2-3 days later, I'm at the convention. He's doing an autograph signing, and I'm in the line. And so when I go up to get his autograph, I'm like, so we were up at the castle the other day, and we saw Killjoys filming. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry if we interfered with your getting to see the castle, because it's so much prettier when we don't have all our gear in your way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny, because there were a few other things that made this clear. It was a Toronto production in terms of just one or two of the locales they used or something like that. Nothing too major.
Yeah.
But if you watch enough stuff, you kind of get a sense for both what actors in what locations are around a given, you know, shooting spot. I'm trying to think if there are any others. That was the main one, particularly when they're
in the stables.
In the stables, pulling the stuff out of the asteroid or whatnot. Mm-hmm. They did some fun stuff overall in the series. There were a few places where it's like, I know this Tans guy is filthy rich and a tech billionaire, but he did this how in secret with what? You know, kind of a, okay, we'll go with it.
He single-handedly built the Ark.
I was less impressed than that he built the hangar to build the Ark in with the robots.
Mm, yeah.
That apparently nobody knew anything about.
Yeah.
And it's like, how?
I'm still trying to figure out where the hangar doors are that nobody ever saw.
I think they are overgrown with forest. He's got this space Ark in there. They go like 100 meters down or something, because whenever they get out of the elevator to look at it, they're looking kind of up in some cases, sometimes down. Anyways, it's really deep. So something that literally is like, take a football field or two end on end or whatever down. That's how deep of a pit he made. Nobody noticed. And when they go to the, when Grace is having to find salvation, and Tans has given her the embedded chip he's pulled out of himself.
Yeah.
to basically so she can pass as him at the office.
Yeah.
With the AI.
That's who we didn't talk about. Laszlo.
Oh, Laszlo. Before we get to Laszlo.
Yes.
Grace and Liam basically use that to track his location. And on the map where they track it to, it's wooded area.
It is. It is.
There's a little path up to a little bunker or whatever. But it's like, I don't know how they built down there with no sign of anything above.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, not to mix references, but there's not even a big body of water for it to be hiding under.
Yes. That has other problems in other films.
I'm just saying. It's
like, how do you hold the water back to do all this?
Yes. Okay.
Laszlo was in for a couple episodes, first half of the season, as the security guy for Tans, which is kind of funny given that Liam kind of at one point was claiming to be the security guy for
Tans.
Yes,
it was.
Familiar looking actor, although I really don't know that I have seen him in something else. I think he's just looks like a few others.
He was a great red herring.
Yes, he was one. It's like, because there are a number of times, okay, they've got a mole, there's somebody we can't trust, somebody sold somebody out, who knew what, when, you know, who's on whose side. Mm-hmm. So having a larger cast, having a number of people of can we really trust them or not, in sometimes it's their goals align, sometimes they don't. So it does shift.
Well, and Laszlo was someone we saw just enough of to know he had a lot of access.
Mm-hmm.
But we hadn't spent enough time with him to know if we could trust him.
Well, and at this point, we didn't really know Darius Tans well enough.
Very true. Well, what we did know about him is he's always on board with Plan A, but he's also always working on Plan B and a Plan C that we
don't... Darius.
Yeah, sorry, okay. Darius. That we don't know enough about.
Yeah, Darius definitely is a multiple contingency planner.
And it was because we didn't know about plans B and C that we didn't know if we could trust him. Because when there are things going on off screen that we can't see, we have to be hesitant.
One of the things I would find interesting if they do a second season, don't know if they're going to do or not, is it would be fun at one point to have an episode, and do it midway through the season or something, where basically... Darius has to, I don't want to say explain himself, but something where we get a sense of, at this point, he knew this. So he set Plan A in motion and did these things, and Plan B in motion with these things, and C, D, and whatever, and just get a sense of, throughout the series, he may have done this, he may have done that, he may have pushed somebody in this direction, and really kind of see how it all works, and have one or two of them, yeah, that one didn't pan out. Yeah. But these did, and this worked differently than I thought, but that, you know, because he's very much wanting to always have the answer and have the right thing at the right time.
Well, and he learns from events that happened, whether or not he considers them his mistakes.
True. My point is, it's not that he is all-knowing and prophetic, but it's almost like how Jackie Chan filmed some of his stunts. You know, where it's, you know, somebody will throw something at it, he'll kick it and it'll hit somebody in the head or whatever. You shoot it again, and 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 again. After about 150 takes, one of them is close enough that you can use it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, a little bit about how Darius seems to plan.
Well, but my thinking was the prototype for the EM drive. He learned from what happened when trying to transport that.
Yes, that one got stolen, so he had a fake ready of the full-size one. I would have appreciated having something set up to foreshadow that.
Yeah, me too.
Something like, okay, we had to do this mold. What are you going to do with it now? Oh, I'm sure I'll find some use for it.
Yeah.
There were one or two characters, third characters, you know, tertiary characters, whatever, that once they fulfilled their use, poof, they were gone.
Yes.
I'm thinking specifically the guy who was originally in charge of the 160 project,
which
was picking the 160 people that'll go fill this arc that Darius has built as this plan B or whatever.
Yeah.
And once he has sufficiently ridiculed Jillian, Jillian has gone through some, you know, should she be there, should she not, she leaves, she comes back. She winds up kind of replacing him as the lead. He's still there. They get along great somehow, which surprised me. Then this guy has a confrontation with Liam, and then we never see him again.
Yeah.
And because again, he'd filled his narrative, his purpose. There were a few other characters that would go out of the focus of the story long enough, specifically the reporter, that I'm like, wait, it's been a little while since we've seen her. What's, and sure enough, right about that point, they bring her back in.
Yeah.
So they seem to have a pretty good sense of how long they can keep somebody off screen, but they would go just a hair longer than I think I was ready for at times.
Well, and the reporter did eventually reach the point of understanding that, yes, the people need the truth, but you also have to consider the safety of the people.
The impact of telling it, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things you were mentioning a couple of times as we neared the end of the run was kind of what plot threads were left open.
Yeah.
Because they had a lot going on, and there were a couple I thought they did leave open that I don't know that a second season is going to answer. Specifically, who was the guy in the hoodie in the reporter's hospital room?
Yeah.
That gives her the phone initially.
That could have been Dylan, because it came from Resist.
Could have been, but we never know.
Yeah. I agree.
Who's in charge of Resist?
Yeah, I think that's the big one.
And certainly there's some stuff with the coup and the politics at the end that are left ambiguous that I would expect to get touched on next season.
We certainly have no idea why somebody wanted a U.S.-Russia war.
Yeah.
Or a war on Earth, no matter how you view if they specifically wanted it to be U.S.-Russia or simply war. Somebody was trying to get the U.S. into war.
I'm almost wondering if whoever was doing that, they clearly also seemed to be behind Resist. I'm wondering if they had had connections to this Atlas project where the U.S. had apparently weaponized asteroids and, you know, chucked one at the Russians.
Yeah.
So, again, there's a lot more there to be had. Definitely a lot of plot lines going on, which was fun because sometimes the heroes of the story would have a good day.
Yeah.
Sometimes everything would go wrong. Well, we lost this. This isn't happening. He's having to go do this. And, you know, you deal with this. I'll deal with that. You deal with that kind of, you know, divide and conquer.
And Jillian went through kind of an interesting progression just on the 160 project in terms of she started out thinking it was purely a hypothetical.
You know, it's interesting because that was one of the other things where I felt Darius had done his due diligence. She didn't fully realize that. She thinks she got the job on her own credit versus he no doubt seems to know her grandfather was a noted sci-fi author who had dealt with a story of a similar, okay, you're going to go colonize another planet. Who do you take?
Yeah.
And they were kind of the two ships, the essentials and the non-essentials, the scientists, the people you got to have, the builders, the whatnot. And then the non-essentials of, you know, the musicians, the poets, the artists, that sort of a thing. And of course, her stand was very much, it turns out, in line with, I think, Darius's, of you need the artists, you need the music, the history, the if you just send the academics, you're not going to recreate our culture. You're going to...
Well, you won't have any culture, was his fear.
Yes. Well, at best. At worst, you wind up with a very dry, sterile one. It's not, you haven't... People are alive, but they're not living, I think would be the way he would phrase it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when they did a tour of the bunker and it's...
Well, it was fun because at that point, Grace and Liam are, is this guy trying to build his own kingdom in space? Who is this Darius guy?
Yeah.
And then they're seeing, you know, the Declaration of Independence, an original copy or whatever, of the Bill of Rights or whatever.
Yeah.
Key historical things.
Yeah.
And what I loved about that is we had seen Darius at an auction spending an absurd amount of money on these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And particularly at the end when it's revealed he knew he was never going on this thing.
Yeah.
It put a very interesting spin on his character of he is trying to do the right thing and make the world a better place or a world that is a better place or what have you and give humanity whatever he can and salvage the best of our culture, our literature, our history and such.
Yeah.
It was also unclear how much of this is plan B, plan A, whatever again, but that was part of the fun of the show.
Yeah.
It kept you on your toes. It kept you guessing. And there were a couple of things where it's like, of course, this would be a convenient time for them to lose the control of this or not have that or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or get hacked.
Or get hacked or what have you.
Yeah.
But that's the nature of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
If obstacles aren't constantly thrown at inopportune times, it's a very short story.
Yeah.
If it was, oh, we found a meteor or asteroid coming to Earth. Oh, we just happen to have something nearby that'll solve it. Boom, we solved it. Next. I mean, that would be a very, actually, it'd be a very funny kind of a series to watch. If you imagine if this were almost like a sitcom version of this, mixed with a little bit of, you know, uber sci-fi, super spy type stuff, you know, where you go through like an hour episode, or maybe it'd be better as a movie, I don't know, where you go through something and you've got the, oh my god, we're going to die from this, and somebody's like, oh, we could just do this, this, and that. Essentially, whatever the audience would kind of say
yes.
next, and somebody else are saying, oh, we're going to have this. Oh, yeah, well, fine, we could do that. Oh, well, there's this huge earthquake. Oh, we'll just do this, and you know what I mean? Just boom, 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 solved, solved, solved. And then, you know, hey, it's time for breakfast. I don't know. It would have to be a comedy, because it would be hard to do that seriously.
Yes.
What I liked about this was, while there are some conveniences here and there in the writing or whatnot, it was solid writing.
Yeah.
The conveniences were not, oh my god, you've got to be kidding. Other than the DC to London and back twice. Yeah. That one stood out to me.
Yeah.
But by and large, it had a sense of believability, of credibility. The characters stayed true to themselves, and they had a really solid group of actors.
Yeah.
You know, I really liked Liam, Darius, Harris, Grace.
Yeah.
The lead characters were ones that sold the emotions of the moment and...
the trust issues.
Yeah.
I mean, all the trust issues for me played well and were believable.
Well, not only when the trust was broken, but when they got over that.
Yeah.
And it's not a cheese. You're going to keep trusting this guy?
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Seems reasonable. I get what's going on. You've moved past it. Here's either why you had to, why you wanted to, whatever.
Yeah.
And to have... almost that toying with the emotions throughout the series,
mm-hmm.
without seeming sappy, overplayed, melodramatic, or any of that. I was impressed.
Yeah.
And again, this was a show that, until you mentioned it the other night, when it's, hey, we'll try the first thing and see what we think, hadn't heard of it at all.
It's a show that, if they had overplayed their hand, could have felt too soap opera, and it didn't.
Oh, it very much could have been soap opera. Absolutely. Either that or dry technobabbly.
Yes, which they managed to avoid.
Crazy, constant racing to action to do some kind of overblown craziness, a la Scorpion or something.
Yeah.
There are a lot of ways this show could have gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah, they found a nice balance.
Well, they found a nice balance, and they ended on a very interesting note where they've got a lot of different ways they could pick up next season.
Yeah.
To me, the only thing they have to do between... where they left off and where they would pick up if they get a second season is probably 3 or 4 weeks have to elapse. Probably 4 on the dot.
They've got 120 some odd days on the clock.
We've got a group of people in the bunker with the Ark.
I was
that are 30 days out of contact with society.
Correct. But I was unclear if they were the chosen 160 or if they were mostly Tan's employees.
I'm thinking they were mostly the Tan's employees.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was just unclear.
But it was unclear. They were doing enough interviews with other people. It was hard to tell if he had hired... I mean,
yeah.
I don't think everybody who was working there at the time was the potential, you know, 160.
Jillian had said that he was talking about bringing in the people.
Yeah.
So that they could be on site and go into the bunker. Worst case scenario.
I think there is a number of them, but not all of them.
Yeah, which makes sense.
But that's also why I would spin the clock forward 28 days. Something to where you could come back and time's elapsed both in and out of the bunker, to where those in the bunker are, did they gel together? Did they not? Are things falling apart? Are they ready? What's going on? Who's in control?
Have they been prepping the Ark or not?
Have they been prepping the Ark? What do they expect to find out from the outside world? Mm-hmm. You know, and have a little time to play that out before the reveal.
And we know that the bunker is air-gapped and has no signals out, which is why Liam, at the last minute, ran out to tell Darius his brilliant thought. He really ought to stop having tender moments with Jillian.
Well, I thought Jillian staying in the bunker was a little surprising. They had agreed either both go or both stay.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think Liam at the moment had the, if the asteroid's got an iron core, you could do a magnetic kind of a thing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Darius had just kind of gotten to that conclusion right as Liam was telling him that. At least that's what I took when Darius had picked up the magnet and the other thing, and there seemed to be a light bulb moment. But about 28 days gives them time to have done something.
Mm-hmm.
And is it going to work? Is it not going to work? We can't get in touch with them. We can't just open the bunker for whatever reason. So, you know, have they rebuilt tests? What's going on with the politics? I mean, there's a lot they could do with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It allows, even in a short time frame, situations to have changed.
Well, the other thing is, let's say, best case scenario, they did manage to get the asteroid headed away from Earth. Work their magic. All is good. But it's now hell on Earth. Politically, missiles are launching. Resist has created such chaos. It's World War III.
It's a homemade Armageddon versus an asteroid induced.
Right. So
I don't think they're going to go that way.
But no, just worst case scenario. If that's what the world is, and you're Darius and Liam, each of whom has people they care genuinely about down in that bunker, do you then decide they're better off loading up the Ark and leaving than staying and living in a homemade Armageddon?
I think the worst case situation is in the intervening 30 days, they solve the asteroid problem. The people come out, everything's done, they can go back to their life, end of series. So I think that's the worst case.
Okay.
For the writing.
Yeah, potential. Okay.
I don't think a homemade Armageddon seems likely. I would almost expect...
And let's keep in mind the vice president who started the coup is on the loose.
There's certainly, I think, going to be more of that sort of machinations going on, both political, geopolitical, all that. I expect more trauma there.
Yeah.
But not to the we're in a post-apocalyptic situation. Although it may get to the brink of that by the end of a potential second season. I would think that they're going to play out more of the can we get the right people? Can we not? Are we close? Are we not? I would expect that, and I kind of expected it to be the end of the first season almost. I mean, particularly where they were going at the end, I was thinking, you know, the next season could take place on the Ark.
Yeah.
That to me seems more like a third season than, or at least halfway through the second or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's highly possible they're going to launch the Ark and we're going to follow on that. And then the final season would be they're starting to set up life on Mars or whatever. Don't know they're going to go that way. And part of what has me wondering that is we've only seen the outside of the Ark.
True.
Now, it may be that you need a second season budget to go build sets for the Ark or do virtual sets or whatever you're going to do for that, like design it.
Well, I thought Darius's fear that if he told others about the Ark, they would want to sell the seats instead of simply give them to the best, wisest,
mm-hmm.
most fit choices. I felt that was a reasonable and fair fear.
What I was surprised by is he had 160 as the minimal viable population. I was expecting the selection group to fill that out and him reveal that there's actually 175 seats or some other.
Mm, yeah.
And here's where the others are going to be.
I figured he had to have 160 basically colonists and then kind of a crew allotment.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, in other words, the 160 wouldn't include the pilot or the engineer.
Yeah.
Whatever he had to promise to get the thing built. So the fact that we haven't seen the inside of even the design of the inside of the Ark or whatever.
We saw one hologram allusion to it, but it was very fleeting.
We saw one or two where it was in the background, but we never...
Yeah, I agree.
He never gave a show and tell of it to us.
Yeah, I agree.
But that was also one of the things. At the beginning, we get the hologram of the universe or whatever, and we get it once or twice later, but only sparingly. But again, TV budget, they've got a big cast, a lot of locations, etc. Yeah. They spent whatever money they spent well.
Yes.
So I get that. It's just not having seen the inside of it makes me wonder, could this really even evolve into an Ark-based show?
I hope so.
My point is, I'm really curious, if they have a 5-year plan, what is it?
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
Because the model I'm looking to here is kind of the last ship, where it starts out with a particular crisis.
Yeah.
And it's either you play that crisis out for your 5-year plan or you don't. And then, well, what happens once you've solved the crisis?
Yeah.
So the crisis here is an asteroid. How does the show continue after the 180 days where the asteroid is either hit or not hit?
Well, his plan, whether or not the asteroid hits, whether even before he knew about an asteroid, was that the only way to avoid extinction of our species is to not be confined to a single planet.
Agreed. But the show gets a very different feel if, yes, we're safe from the asteroid, there's no real rush to launch. We could do it tomorrow, we could do it next month and 10 years from now.
Well, the infamous ticking clock.
Yeah. And so much of this has been around not what does it, if the show had spent 80% of its time at Tan's Industries, how do we build this? How do we handle the food? How do we handle the energy? How do we handle this, that, and the other of the arc?
Yeah.
Then it's like, yep, that arc's taken off.
Yeah.
We're spending too much time. We've gotten to know some of the scientists, some of the builders, some of the whatever. But it was always just kind of off to the side. It was a prop. It was almost like a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
But it's a big enough MacGuffin, enough people know about it, it seems like they got to do something with it.
It was the title of the show.
The
show was titled Salvation. The arc was titled Salvation.
I think it had the title of the show. I don't think the arc was the title of the show. I mean, I see where you're coming from, but it's a question of what is the salvation of the human race? This is one option.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't think in other words,
in that sense, it could have been another red herring.
Absolutely. If this show were to go 5 seasons, we'll say, I don't feel they're obligated to get on that ship and take off.
Yeah.
That having been said, I don't know what they would do with seasons 3 through 5, given how much time has elapsed and how much time I would expect for the next season, at the end of which the asteroid should have hit or passed.
Yeah.
But given the political machinations, the corporate machinations, the relationship issues, I'm expecting more of that.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do with 160 characters on a confined ship.
True. I'd like to see it get more episodes. I'd like to see them do more with this.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to see them do more with this. I just, I'm not entirely sure which direction they would go.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they get the chance. I hope they pick wisely. I hope they've got a good game plan.
Yeah, me too.
They've got a solid group of writers, solid group of actors. And while there are a couple of things, again, that are a little, well, that's convenient, whatever. There's not that many of those.
Yeah.
And they're far overshadowed by how well-rounded the characters feel, the interaction between the characters, and the roller coaster ride's really fun and not something that falls apart when you start to kind of poke at it.
Well, I think at one point, Liam had a line that kind of sums up the attitude of the whole show, which is fear can't paralyze you. It needs to be used to energize you.
Yeah.
And
well, the other motto of the show is whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Because we get that with Harris and Grace quite a bit.
Yeah. And I really think they just let this fear that Earth could be destroyed energize every character to do everything they can conceive of to save humanity.
You know, it's funny because that's the sort of knowledge. If you were to suddenly find out and truly believe the Earth is doomed in X days,
mm-hmm.
not you think it is, not it might be, but this is going to happen unless somebody can stop it. I don't know what you would call that kind of switch that gets flipped in your brain, but seeing all the different characters go through it, or some explicitly not go through it because it's like, hey, whatever you know, don't tell me.
Yeah.
You know, there were one or two of those that I thought were really well done.
Well, and Jillian's grandfather.
That was the one I was thinking of, yeah.
When they had a conversation, and one of the things he says to her is, I don't know what it is you know, but the looks you two were sharing last night tell me, no, you shouldn't tell other people.
Well, when the grandfather and the father are talking, it's like she really seems to love that boy. And yeah, but why is she so sad?
Yeah.
And there were some good kind of heart-wrenching moments on some of that.
Yeah. Well, and going back to the scenes with Liam's mother,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, it seems like the two of you getting married is an act of desperation, and marriage should not be done out of desperation.
There were a lot of scenes, particularly between parent and child,
mm-hmm.
that I think really had some heart to it.
Yeah.
I think they've got some writers that are really good on the character interaction stuff, some that are really good on the plot stuff.
Yeah.
Other things of that sort, some on the dialogue. It's a well-crafted show.
Yeah.
And I like it ending on a point where it's like, okay, there are a couple of things they got to deal with next season, but a couple of ways they can do it.
Yeah.
Versus a, well, the season's going to have to start right here, deal with this in the first two episodes, or it just won't. You know, it can't not. Yeah. Although I have seen one or two shows come back from a season break, having ended on a cliffhanger, and it's 3 months later, and things are different, and they never really talk about it.
Yeah, well, you know, so what if somebody fell off a building and seemed to die? You made that up in your mind.
I was thinking pushed out of a helicopter, but all right. It happens. Not often, but just enough. So it's a good show. I enjoyed it. 13 episodes. Pretty quick and easy to marathon.
Yeah.
We did it in, what, 3 evenings?
Yeah. Twice in the show, there's a two-parter that airs as one episode.
I think it's 4 and 5 and 7 and 8 or something like that.
Yeah. So it lists that they only have 11 of the 13 episodes, but they are all there.
We did do this on CBS All Access.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out. It was a fun show. Hope it comes back for a second season.
Yeah, I agree.
So anything else? That do it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.